Well, good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
We're turning to Acts and the chapter 3. We began our study of this chapter the last time I was with you. And there was recorded here at the beginning of the chapter a wonderful miracle. A man who had never walked was suddenly made able, not just to walk, but it says he was leaping about with joy at discovering this wonderful healing wrought in his body by the Lord. But we're going to move on from the healing and the miracle, because Peter was prompted to preach, and he was prompted to preach by the reaction of the people. There were thousands of people gathered around the temple in Jerusalem, and who witnessed this man leaping and praising God and making quite a noise. And it was the reaction of this people to this miracle that prompted Peter to preach. Let's read some verses, beginning in chapter 3 at the verse 11 of Acts. Acts chapter 3, verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, he was embracing them in thankfulness, because they had been the instruments God had used in his healing. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering, as is ever the case when there's a noise suddenly. We all say, what's going on? And we don't just say what's going on, but we run over toward the noise to see what is going on. And that's what's happened here. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Now move down to verse 16. And his name, that's the name of the Lord Jesus, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So, when this miracle was wrought, it's obvious that the people jumped to the wrong conclusion. That's always the case with men. Men look at what God has done and they don't see God's hand in it. They don't realize this is the work of God. This is demonstrated throughout the world today, and it has been since time began. I mean, men look out on the world. They look above them on the sky, far distant reaches of the heavens, the stars, the moon, sun, and they don't see God. Don't see his handiwork. Don't understand that this is what God has done. Instead, they draw all sorts of ludicrous conclusions. Way back in ages past, times of paganism and great superstition, they had all sorts of notions about the gods that they claimed existed, throwing the stars into the sky and making the sun and all the rest. Even today, the wise men of today are even more ludicrous, more silly. Why do I say that? Well, the poor people millennia ago, thousands of years ago, they said somebody has done this. And because they were ignorant of God, they invented gods who had done this. But today, the wise men of today are even more silly. They don't see that somebody has done this. They say, oh, this has just happened. This has just happened. Bang! And it all happened. That's even more silly than the notions that the pagan people of ages past came up with. Man just cannot see God in his works and in his ways. There's not one of you here, but if I were to go and tear a page out of your jotter where you have written something, and if I was to take that page no name on it, and give it to your teacher and say to your teacher, who's written this? Your teacher would look at it, that's so and so. The teacher would recognize your work. They would know your scribble. Well, why can man not look out on what God has done and recognize this is God's work? This is God's work. The psalmist said the heavens declare, announce God as the creator. That's what the heavens in their silence are proclaiming every day. We are the work of God. But men, guided by their darkened minds, form false opinion. Now, that's been a slight digression, although it's part of the introduction to this portion of God's word. The people were jumping to the wrong conclusion. Seeing this miracle, seeing the man holding on to John and Peter, and doubtless saying, these are the men who brought me healing. And the people were then looking at these men who had brought healing, and they formed opinions about them that were wrong. And Peter sets out to correct them. That's part of preaching, you know. I suppose that's why preachers, one of the reasons why preachers are not liked, because they correct people. They tell them they have the wrong notion and the wrong idea. And people don't like that. Little boys and girls in class get very grumpy when the teacher says, no, that's wrong. They didn't want to hear that. Well, little boys and girls might do that, but so do big men and women. They just get as grumpy, in fact, even more grumpy, when they're told, you're wrong. You're wrong. Only by the mercy of God are men and women ready to accept God's correction. Here, that works out. It didn't work out at times when the Savior was preaching. When he corrected men, they got very vicious. And they went away saying, we're going to have to kill him to shut him up. We don't like this correcting of us and telling us we're wrong. That's what happened. And it has happened in the life virtually of every servant of God. God's word, its correcting of men, is not welcomed by men. But here, by the grace of God, for as Peter corrected the people, God worked in their heart and enabled them to accept the correction humbly and bow before it and submit to God's word and accept that they were wrong. Let's notice first of all then that the first thing Peter did in this sermon, the first thing he did was to disclaim, reject all credit for the healing of this man. Look at the verse 12. Verse 12 of chapter 3 of Acts. What does it say? And when Peter saw it, saw what? Saw the people all thinking that he and John had by their power healed this man. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The first thing he said. That's the first thing he said. That's what was in his heart and mind uppermost. He looked and he said, these people think we did this. And in a sense we can say that that horrified him. That people would think that he and John had wrought this miracle when it was God who did it. And he didn't for one moment want the people to think such a thing. And so he immediately attends to this matter and says, no, it wasn't us. This is the work of God. It's the Lord that has done this. That's the first thing he says there in verse 12. You know, boys and girls, in everything we must give glory to God. You know, if you get a good mark in your exam, you might feel like patting yourself on the head and saying how smart I am. But that will be wrong, because that smartness that has been seen in your exam result has been given you of God. So the first thing you should do is thank the Lord. The first thing you should do is thank the Lord. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the verse 31. Let me read it to you. whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now, eating and drinking is one of the simplest and most common thing that any of us do. No matter whether we're smart or not, big or small, old or young, we all eat. But all of us, when we do eat, we should do so to the glory of God. That is, we should recognize that our food comes from God. I remember reading in the paper one time, and it was exploring the ignorance there was in England among youngsters who went to school in a big city. And they were asked, where does milk come from? Where does bread come from? Where does meat come from? Now, they had no idea about farms, about cows that gave milk, or beef cattle that were the source of the meat on the table in our dinners. They had no idea of grain growing in the fields, the source of bread. No idea. So when they were asked, where do these things come from? Do you know what they said?
Tesco's.
Well, they were right. That's what their mum or their dad bought these things. But where did Tesco's get them? And you have to trace these things right back to that which grows under the providence of God. When we eat our food, don't ever forget that the one who started this wonderful chain of events that resulted in your dinner on the table and you eating it, the one who started that, the one who is the author of that, is the Lord. So it is Him we thank. It's Him we thank for our food. And that's what Paul is saying. Whatsoever we eat, let us do it to the glory of God. James, in chapter 1 of his epistle, said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no change, neither shadow of turning. No change with God, when He's the author of all gifts. And so Peter, when he sees the people beginning to give him praise and John praise for what has been done, he wants to stop that and correct them and make them realize it's God who healed this man. Peter was very obviously anxious that he and John are not honored. I was thinking as I was looking at this that it's very easy for preachers to think that, to yield to that temptation. Sometimes they preach and the Lord helps them and people are blessed and people begin to say, isn't he a wonderful preacher? Oh, how he can bring out this wonderful truth from the Bible. And there's a temptation that many preachers give in to sort of nod their head and say, yes, you're right, I am a great preacher. I am quite learned and wonderful in the pulpit. But that would be wrong. That would be very wrong. And Peter was determined not to make such an error and sin against the Lord by taking the honor and the glory that belongs to God and making it His. The earnestness of the preacher regarding this matter was demonstrated in chapter 14 of the Acts of the Apostle, this time in the life of Paul and Silas. Let me just read this to you, and we're going to close with these thoughts, for time is up. Chapter 14, and we read in the verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent, that is, totally weak, in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Very much like the man that Peter and John had been the means of healing. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, Saul said with a loud voice, stand up on thy feet, and he leaped and walked. It's wonderful that God's blessing goes beyond just our immediate need. Now, for this man to have gathered himself together and up on his knees and then up on his feet, That would be the miracle. But boys and girls, I want you to learn, God works so wonderfully. This man, it says, leaped up. He had never been on his feet before. His muscles had never worked before. But instantly, he's leaping about the way I see you leaping about out there in the playground on break time. And I'm thinking, I used to be able to do that. I wish I could do it still. But anyway, he's up leaping. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, or Mercury, because he was the chief speaker. See the conclusions of the people? Totally wrong. They said, this man Paul and his friend Silas, they must be the gods, have come down to earth. They're going to sacrifice to Paul and Silas, verse 13. But look at the reaction. Verse 14, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you." Look at what it says. They were frantic in their reaction. They ran in among the people crying and tearing their clothes, which was something that the people did in the East, as a sign of their distress. The apostles were distressed at the idea that people would think they had healed this man when it was God. And Peter showed the same anxious spirit, because as he opened his mouth, the first thing he did was to tell the people it was God did this. The Lord Jesus is the one behind this, not us. Boys and girls, that's something that we must ever see. I'm going to leave it there, but we'll come back to this for one more thought, and it's this, and you can think about it, and I hope you'll look it up. We, in observing God's mercy in this world, mercy toward us and mercy toward others, our reaction should be not like those in the temple who began to honour Peter and John, or like those that we read about in chapter 14, who began to worship Paul and Silas. That's not how we should react, but we should react like those in heaven. And we find recorded a number of times in the book of the Revelation, when John was shown heaven, we find there the reaction that's taking place at this very moment. And we're going to look at that when we return to this passage next week. May the Lord bless his word to our heart. We're going to bow in prayer, boys and girls. Let us pray and seek the Lord just for his blessing. Lord, bless thy word. Give understanding to the youngsters, right down to the youngest, and right up to the oldest, Lord. For all need that grace of understanding. But may they do more than understand, O God. May they take it to heart. And may they ask themselves the question, do I honour God as I ought? Answer prayer for us today, for the teachers, for the pupils, for the homes of our pupils. Lord, look upon us in mercy, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.